Welcome into the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. JP Shadrick with you on Friday, October 15th. The Jaguars are on the ground in the United Kingdom, and we have the best of the week around Jags Broadcasting and Jaguars.com. We'll recap Week 5 and lead into the Week 6 game against the Miami Dolphins at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in North London. We'll have initial reaction after last week's game from quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli do their thing on Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Monday. And head coach Urban Meyer looks at last week's game on the Urban Meyer Show. Remember to subscribe to the official Jaguars Podcast Network on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods. Give us a comment and a five-star rating. Let's start with a final look at last week's game, a 37-19 loss to the Tennessee Titans. The Jaguars struggled at times on defense, but ran the ball effectively on the offensive side. But down by three possessions when they touched the ball for the first time in the third quarter, they had to get away from the run. ESPN's Mike DiRocco had this exchange with quarterback Trevor Lawrence after the game.
You haven't lost a ton of games in your career, but it's 0-5 this year, but 20 straight losses for this franchise. Can you even comprehend that? And how desperate do you feel this locker room is? Is it something y'all think about, talk about, or no?
As far as like the streak or anything like that? No, we don't really talk about that. It's not something I don't think that's good to talk about that. And you can't get desperate, you know. You gotta just keep going to work, and we're gonna win some games. We're gonna turn it around. And you know, we all thought today was the day we were going to get that first win, and it wasn't. You know, we didn't execute enough down the stretch, but we're going to figure it out, and we're going to turn this thing around. It's going to be a lot of fun when we do. But, yeah, I mean, locker room, we want to win. And all the guys, we got so many hard workers, and everyone's so invested. You know, it's not a team where you got guys that aren't really committed or don't care. I mean, everyone's all in. So, it'll come when you have guys like that and you have talent, and we have enough talent. So, you know, I'm not concerned, but we do need to get some wins. So, yeah.
Also in the postgame, Jaguars fifth-year cornerback Shaquille Griffin explained what the defense could do better.
I feel like the defense could have done a lot more. I feel like the mistakes that we had shouldn't happen. And that's the part we got to do better. We have to fix ASAP. But so far, man, it's a tough feeling. It's something that you don't want. It's something that you got a chance. You know, we got to do it. You know, one thing about it, we got to continue to believe. We got to continue to have faith. And that's the hardest part, you know. That's the hardest part for everybody, continue to get everybody to believe. Because it's not just me. You know, it can't just be one person believing in something. So, you know, that's the part that I can continue to express, continue to talk about, get everybody believing that we can win these games. So, yeah, man, it's a tough one.
All the press conferences available on Jaguars.com. Let's move to more reaction from Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Monday afternoon. CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli, and I broke down another Jaguars losing result and looked back at Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer's post-game comments. Urban said after the game,
desperate.
They're desperate for a win. Desperate. 0-5. They felt like they've been playing a little better the last few weeks, and yesterday happened. That didn't feel like a better all-around game.
Let me ask you a question. I actually like Trevor's comments about, hey, listen, yeah, we want to win. We got to go through the process about hard work, you know, and all that. I like this talk. And I get what Urban's saying, but isn't everyone desperate in the NFL every Sunday for a win? I mean, when we were winning, I was desperate for a win because losing stinks. I mean, so I'm not making light of what he's saying by any means. I do think the danger of that is you start pressing in like okay, because everyone is desperate. Everyone wants to win every Sunday. It's about doing the little things right. Like being more desperate, unless it's going to make you focus more, unless it's going to make you do the little things right. And if that's the case, then be desperate. But that's the difference between winning and losing. And that's why I was, you know, making faces that nobody could see and wanted to say something so bad when you were going down the rundown. It's like, and they're getting bad calls.
I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
I said some calls maybe didn't go their way. We'll go through the same mindset thing. Of that right or wrong. Yeah, what I said. You want to run back the tape, Joe? I don't. We can run back the tape.
That's,
it's not what I said. Bad
that,
calls.
I mean,
not what I said.
Again, those are all things you hear from teams who don't win.
Right. And here's the other thing. You want to be desperate? How about desperation allowing you to know who's on the field in certain situations? How about desperation in that scenario? I mean, you do, how about desperation saying that your quarterback can't run the quarterback sneak, but he says he can? I mean, there's what does that mean, desperation? Of course, everybody wants to win, but desperate for a win? And he's only had five of them, by the way. You know, it's 20 of them. Some of those guys have had 20. So they're even probably even more desperate. It just, look, it's a bad situation in a lot of ways right now. It really is. And if they don't win this week, they have a legitimate chance to get that record. Okay, I'm going to put it out there. This is their opportunity. Go win the game. Miami's not very good. There's some talk that Tua could be back this week, but this is the week you got to go win a game. And, you know, they've been in games. Second half has been bad in a lot of situations. Why is that? What's the reasoning for that? So I think there's a lot of questions here with this team. And first and foremost, the head coach. Let's be real. And the coaching. The players, we know, Tony, we know where the players are, okay? This roster needs help in the worst way in a lot of situations. But how do you not know Robinson's not on the field on the play? Now, it doesn't matter if Barry Sanders was in the game, he would have scored.
Yeah, right. I didn't know. Didn't block it. That was nothing. No. And I'll go
but
back.
Why not sneak it there or run him inside?
Well, Trevor, after the game, said, you know, they shifted up front and closed those A gaps. He was thinking about maybe sneaking it. Then that happened. He couldn't do it. So,
yeah, but you still can. I mean, go watch Tom Brady. Like, if you want to know how to quarterback sneak, go put the tape on Tom Brady, because maybe the greatest quarterback sneaker ever.
There's a YouTube video of just his sneak. Somebody sent it to me during the game yesterday.
He's unreal. And it didn't matter what the look was. He was getting a yard. Pete, am I wrong there?
You can push too. You can push too.
Yeah, now you can push. Put someone behind. I mean, it wasn't like it was a full yard you're trying to get. It was 6 inches.
Yeah, if that.
If that. And so I would have snuck it there.
In other words, bad decision. Bad decision.
Running off tackle, I don't love, but again,
he ran up the middle and it got forced outside.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It was a terribly blocked play. It didn't matter who was in the game. So I disagree with James Robinson not being in there from first down on, not just fourth down. He's your best offensive player right now. Now, Trevor Lawrence is going to be your best player, is the most talented player, but your most productive football player, maybe on the entire team. Of anyone who is playing professional football in Jacksonville is James Robinson.
No, Urban said today that he didn't think he was dinged up. So there was nothing to that.
Well, then he should have kept him in there to try and get the 250 he's going to get every week.
So before we go there, but I want to go back because there's been a lot of criticism of Daryl Bevel from the entire series from first and five when they didn't get in. And I want to... And the James Robinson shouldn't have been there. Why aren't you running it on first down, first and five? I actually don't disagree with Daryl Bevel's play call on first down. And if you go watch the tape, it's a great play call. It's man coverage. It's a return route. Chenault has separation. If the ball is delivered on target, it's a touchdown. And we're not even having this conversation right now. Now, what I don't love is after that, not having your best running back in the game.
Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Monday airs from 4 to 6 p.m. on 1010XL AM and the Jaguars social media channels. On to Tuesday and the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. The Jaguars head coach joined Jeff Lagerman and me to give his take on the Week 5 losing result. There was a little rally in that late third into the fourth, just not enough to put together a full game last week.
Yeah, I thought the energy was great. And then all of a sudden, bang, we have a turnover, a fumble that went for six that we all felt that those not a football move and the ball should have been incomplete. Let's keep playing. But we didn't. But the best part of that was Trevor and showing his maturity, the direction and identity of our offense. I'm very pleased with that. And I've said this many times that the goal of our offense is to be balanced, 250-250. And I believe, threw for 250 and we ran for 200. So we're getting close, you know, and the offense line. Now we're down two starters, but our offense line has been very consistent. Our backs ran very hard. James had an excellent day. Downfield blocking was good. And then Trevor, like I said, his progress has been very obvious and continues. So I really like the identity of the offense. And after that turnover, you go down and you score, and then we miss a darn extra point. But we're right back in it, and that was a long long drive and very physical drive running the ball.
Yeah, I thought that drive, the –
that was the answer to the fumble that Arnold had, I thought was very impressive. You got a 58-yard run by James Robinson that set it up, which was an outstanding effort by James, but also the blocking up front was tremendous. I mean, you never want to start a game with a turnover, Urban, but the way your offense answered to get it back, I thought was significant.
Well, there's a lot of ways to measure. Jeff, you know this as well as anybody, especially I know what kind of player you were, is the character of your team is when you get smacked right in the face. We got smacked. And to see the O-line come out there and, you know, you look at this game and you really felt like we controlled the line of scrimmage. We held one of the best backs in the NFL to, held him in check for a good portion of the game. And then offensive line-wise, you know, we ran the ball and ran the ball for 200 yards against good defense. So that usually indicates you're going to win. But we couldn't get him off on third down. We got beat man coverage. We had a couple missed assignments. And that you know, whenever you give up 7 points like we did to start the game, that's tough to overcome.
That 58-yard run by James Robinson, it really involves the offensive line having combo blocks. And Urban, many people talk about linemen's ability to get to the second level, and Leonard was able to get up on one linebacker, and then Barch and Juwan Taylor were able to take the defensive tackle up to that second-level linebacker on their side. I mean, James Robinson, I like to say what a great read he had, and it was a great cut, but I mean – that combo blocks by the guard center on the left and then the guard tackle on the right were big time.
Big time, man. And like you said, the fine line is don't release the downs too early. And for the listeners, the downs is obviously the defensive lineman. And that's the skill. How long can you hold the down? And here's the thing that James does very well. Jeff, he actually makes that block for the lineman a lot of time. And we would always say, you know, you're a jump cut player. You don't take open seams because open seams aren't really open at times. You stay behind that double team as long as possible because that draws the backer to the lineman, and they're doing that very well.
Head coach Urban Meyer with us on the Urban Meyer Show. Staying on the offensive side here, Dan Arnold had 6 catches in the game, 64 yards. 2 other tight ends had a catch, including Hollister for the touchdown in the first half, and working those guys in. And you talked about it last week when Arnold showed up. He had a couple catches, showed a little burst. He was a big piece of the offensive plan last week.
He is. He's a unique skill set. You know, the whole mentality of offense is obviously balance, but also matchups. And he's a legitimate matchup guy. He's a hurdler in college. He's still got a lot of football ahead of him. And we identified him, and he was my favorite tight end in free agency when we were going through it. I just love his athleticism. I love his speed. And, you know, you figure that's when you have 3 receivers and a tight end, your 4th best cover guy on defense is usually locked on your tight end. And he's a good matchup for that.
The Urban Meyer Show airs Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Jaguars Radio Network. Moving along to Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks Wednesday afternoon. Bucky, John Osier, and I talked through Meyer's formula for winning. Let's start off hearing from head coach Urban Meyer today. Trying to keep the team going, keep everybody motivated and ready to roll week after week and getting after it following the suboptimal start.
The two components of winning are work ethic and belief. And if you have a group that works hard but doesn't believe, you just have a bunch of hardworking guys. If you have a group that believes but doesn't work hard, you have a bunch of people just wishing. The combination, and I see it growing. I see a team growing. I see a team getting better. I see a team, and belief is when the quarterback trusts his offensive line, which he does. When the tailback trusts the offensive line, which they do, you know, that's when belief happens. Belief and work ethic are the secret sauce to winning.
The secret sauce. Well, and it helps when, there's some injuries right now. That's going to be what it is. They're trying to get some guys in there, and there'll be some matchups, Bucky, where they might not be able to match up. But how do you overcome that will be part of this equation as well down the line.
Yeah, and all of that stuff is part of it. I really like what Urban said when he talked about the secret sauce when it comes to belief and working hard. Hard work certainly gives you an opportunity. If you guys play hard, and I will say this for 5 games, 6 games, the Jaguars have played hard. Like, the effort has never been in question. This is a hard-playing team. They really go from snap to whistle. You see them running to the ball. You see them finishing runs on offense and those things. Now it's about cleaning it up, cleaning up the little things, making sure that everyone is executing at a high level. You're finishing drives. You're not turning the ball over, and you're not giving up the big plays that have kind of plagued us at times. The team is really close to winning. they just need to continue to have the confidence that they can knock it down when it gets late in the fourth quarter if the game is tight. It does come down to that belief. So if they work hard and they believe, they do certainly have a chance to win.
Those things need to be in the sauce, and they need to be a big part of the sauce. There needs to be some fundamental things going on that are also in the sauce this week. And Urban gets that. He has also talked about a huge element of the sauce that I believe in, which is the turnover ratio. You've got to create more turnovers. That, to me, feels like one takeaway in five games. If you don't get that in the sauce, you're in trouble around here. That's got to change.
Got to have it, Buck. Got to have it. Got to have those takeaways. Got to have the turnover margin in your favor.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, the number one deciding factor in games is who wins the takeaway battle. And so if you win by plus one, you win about 64% of your game. If you win by plus two, it goes up to about 74-75%. And if you get up to three, it's almost like a 90% win rate. And so it comes down to everything. Everything is about the ball. Can you protect it, and can you take it away? When you do those things, you give a chance to win.
Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks runs Wednesdays at 4:30 on Jaguars.com and the Jags social media channels. When we return, it's On to London, a preview of the Dolphins with Travis Wingfield of MiamiDolphins.com. Plus, Neil Reynolds of Sky Sports in the UK on Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And a preview of a Sunday conversation with NFL Chief Strategy and Growth Officer Chris Halpin. All that after this.
Jags fans, fill your wallet with one debit card that screams Duval exclusively from TIAA Bank. The Jacksonville Jaguars Visa debit card comes with a fierce look and fantastic features so you can pay with pride wherever you go. And it's yours free when you open a Yield Pledge checking account. Up your financial game today. Visit a financial center near you or find us at TIAABank.com/JagsCard. TIAA Bank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC, and the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back to the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. The Daily's play schedule starting to wind down now for the fall. Friday the 15th, it's a sold-out show for the Jonas Brothers. Saturday, October 23rd, Little Big Town. And then two nights of Kane Brown, November 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday. Tickets and information at dailysplace.com. And as always, thanks for checking out the official Jaguars Podcast Network, a free subscription on Apple iTunes or Spotify. Moving on to the Week 6 matchup. The Jaguars face the 1-4 Miami Dolphins at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. We know all about the Jaguars' needs, but the Dolphins need this result as well. Travis Wingfield of MiamiDolphins.com joined Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osher, and Brian Sexton on Jags Drive Time Thursday morning. The prevailing subject, the quarterback position.
All right, Travis, we have to ask you, what's going on with this quarterback situation? Tua Tagovailoa, is he starting? Is he going to play? Is he healthy? And how have these past 4 weeks gone trying to figure this out?
Yeah, it sounds like he's on track to be able to at least try to play in the game on Sunday. It sounds like he's still dealing with a little bit of soreness and pain, but he was out there at practice on Wednesday. He has not been activated from the injured reserve yet. The Dolphins did activate Raekwon Davis last Saturday. So if he comes off the IR, you have to imagine it would be Saturday. We'll talk to one of the quarterbacks on Friday. That might give you an indication as well, whether it's Tua or Jacoby Brissett, as far as who might play in the game on Sunday. Over the last 4 weeks, Brissett's games got better as he went along, but there were certainly some areas the Dolphins could have, used better quarterback play throughout the course of that four-game losing streak. But the offense seems to be kind of getting more and more steam as we go into the season here. So the hope is that the offense built up while Tua was gone, and then when he comes back, kind of have everything come together and get this thing cranking in the right direction, because it's been a pretty slow start for this Dolphins offense so far.
How much have they missed him, and how different are they without him? What kind of an impact do you expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the entire offseason was built in a way to kind of highlight what Tua does well with the quick release, the RPO game. Obviously, haven't seen much of that the last few weeks with Jacoby Brissett in there. The accuracy to get some of these speed receivers, they have the ball on the move. We've seen so many balls over the last 4 weeks to guys where they catch the football standing still, and that's just not going to accentuate the yak ability and this offense has, as far as like Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller when he was healthy, and some of the other guys like Mike Gesicki and Myles Gaskin, and the list goes on and on and on. So I think the offense was constructed to his strengths, and we saw a little bit of that in week one. We saw plenty of it in training camp in the preseason, and something co-offensive coordinator George Godsey talked about was Tua building upon what he did during training camp and preseason into that first game and bringing it back out here in week number 6, hopefully when he plays. So I think there's optimism around Tua's return. I know the guys are excited to have him back. Preston Williams talked a little bit about him being involved and engaged in the meetings and practices and saying like, hey, I see you can do this a little differently or a little better, and we can kind of get on that same page. So he was very much involved over the last three games, but the Dolphins are certainly excited to have him back if he plays on Sunday.
Jags Drive Time airs Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock on Jaguars.com and Jags social media channels. Now to a preview of an interview that will air in Sunday's Publix Tailgate Show. Neil Reynolds has covered the NFL in the UK since the early 90s and is now the primary NFL presenter for Sky Sports in the UK. Back in 2015, the NFL and Tottenham Hotspur Football Club inked a 10-year partnership for the NFL to play two games per year at the new stadium that was going to replace White Hart Lane. The new stadium was slated to open in 2018. Construction delays moved that to 2019 in time for the International Series games, and it opened to rave reviews. Now, the Jaguars' home games have always been played at Wembley Stadium because the Jaguars have an agreement directly with Wembley. But to help the league honor the agreement and to stay involved in the London marketplace post-COVID-19, the Jaguars will play this week at Spurs for the first time. It's a state-of-the-art stadium with a retractable soccer pitch that reveals a permanent field turf NFL field. Reynolds provided some perspective on where the International Series was and where it is now with the stadium in North London. This stadium looks like a showplace for American football in the UK. It was designed with that in mind, I think. At least it looks like it on television, Neil.
Yeah, I think you look at that stadium and you could have it picked up and placed anywhere in North America. I was watching the We had a national anthem last week where the lady was on top of the roof of the stadium, and Marisha Wallace. And I watched that back in the week just because I wanted to see how it looked on TV. And looking at that, I thought I was watching a Super Bowl. That stadium could have been in North America. It's amazing when you think, yeah, back, you know, games were viewed as a novelty maybe early on, 2007. How many are we going to get? How often will the NFL be back? That's a purpose-built stadium. A Premier League soccer club in Tottenham Hotspur went to the NFL and said, how can we build a stadium that is fit for purpose for the NFL? And it's a sensational venue. You know, and I love Wembley. I've had some great days at Wembley, and the Jags will have had great days at Wembley. And you're right, that's a story for another day. I assume they'll have some more. But this is a special stadium they're going to get to play in on Sunday.
The full conversation airs Sunday in the Publix Tailgate Show. The Jaguars departed Jacksonville Thursday afternoon and arrived in London Friday morning. They took the buses to a countryside resort about an hour northwest of London called The Grove, where they will stay for the entire weekend. Before a Friday walkthrough of the practice field built on the property, the team met the media. Here's head coach Urban Meyer.
You know, when I first heard about us coming to London, you know, I asked our players, this whole trip was designed by our leadership committee, and what time we get here, what we do, and all that type of thing. And, you know, I remember Josh Allen was one of the first times I met with him, and the players love it. You know, the environment tomorrow night, this will be my first, obviously, but there's a bunch of players that have experienced it, the beautiful stadium, the way you're treated, the way you guys treat us. I mean, this is great for everyone.
Trevor Lawrence had plenty to say about the trip and working to build something long-term in Jacksonville.
It's awesome. Obviously, I don't think I need any more inspiration. You know, I'm very self-motivated. I always want to do my best, but that's really cool. And it's cool to just be someone that hopefully, you know, people over here can root for. And it's cool to have that fan base. And people out here have been great. Everybody's super nice. So I don't know. That's normal out here. Everyone's been great. So... He's shaking his head no. I guess that's not the case. Yeah, some road rage, I guess, in traffic. But no, it's been awesome, and it is cool, like you said, just to be able to kind of expand your horizon and see a different part of the world. And football's brought us all so many things, regardless of if you're a player, in the media, coach, whatever. I mean, it's done so much for all of us that it's really pretty cool. Yeah, obviously it's always to win the next game, and that's where we start each week. And like you said, we haven't started the way we wanted to, but there's, you know, we still have 12 games left, so there's a lot of time left. But that's our goal, and every week it's just to get better. Like, regardless of what happens this season, obviously I think we're getting there, and we're really coming along, starting to click, and I think we're playing much better football. But regardless of whatever happens these next 12 games. I mean, I plan on being in Jacksonville for a long time, so it's really a big picture thing, and I'm just going to keep getting better every week, and I think this team will do the same. So I have a lot of confidence in the people that we have, the coaches, just the group that we have in general. The team has been great. So, you know, I don't have any doubts about that. And it's just a matter of time before everything starts clicking. And I know I'm going to be the same person. And we got a lot of great guys in the locker room that no matter what happens every week are going to come back to work. So, you know, I don't have any doubts.
Josh Allen looks forward to the scene at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium Sunday afternoon.
The difference is you're just going to see a whole bunch of, when you get to the stadium actually going to the game, you're going to see a whole bunch of jerseys from every team around the NFL, and you're going to see every player jersey. So, like, that's the only, it's not going to be a sided matchup. It's just got, you know, just fans just there to have a great time, just to root for teams to win. So that's the experience, and that's the motivation that we got to play with together and just go out there and ball. This time I actually slept the flight personally, you know, so got a good 5 hours in. So, like, for me, I was well rested. I know a lot of other guys were asleep too. So I know when we were coming out last year, a lot of guys, you know, I didn't sleep. You know, I couldn't sleep. I really don't like sleeping on the plane, but I'm so tired. I get tired now with three kids at the house, so I need all the time I can. So I was slumping. I feel great and well rested, and know I'm about to take a little nap in a couple of minutes. So yeah.
All the media availabilities on Jaguars.com. And we wrap this week with another interview that will air in full Sunday in Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. Chris Halpin is the Chief Strategy and Growth Officer for the National Football League. He and his staff handle the league's international strategy and business. We spoke this week about how the league maintained its presence in the UK marketplace during the heat of the COVID-19 pandemic without international series games, and what the series could look like in 5 years' time.
Two things, though, that are interesting coming out of it. One, the energy and momentum we left last season with an international has never been higher. And we really benefited from a number of factors. We got better with our social marketing. Our partners worked hard. We launched Sky Sport NFL, a dedicated NFL channel, much like NFL Network in the U.S., but launched that for the first time last season. And it really crushed our expectations and Sky's expectations. So, a lot of good momentum, but then we said, okay, we got to climb this hill. Just as we did to play the 2020 season in the U.S., we're going to have to figure out the logistics and climb this hill to play 2021 games in London. And I've said to a couple people here, when we told folks domestically January, February, we were going to schedule these games, they, you know, they looked at us like we had two heads. And it was a gigantic team effort, and really on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. The UK government, Secretary of State Dowden, DCMS, City of London, Ministry of Sport, all of them were phenomenal partners. And also our State Department, the four teams that are playing, including the Jaguars, you know, everybody was creative, responsive, and focused on the goal, which was to play regular season games back here, and we're thrilled to be doing it.
Chris Halpin with us, Chief Strategy and Growth Officer with the National Football League, ahead of the Jaguars-Dolphins matchup in Week 6 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. Two questions for you. What is an ideal international schedule 5 years from now? And secondly, how's your German?
I'll answer the second one first. My German is poor, but we're going to work on it. There are certain moments that you work collectively as a group for a long time on, and then they occur, and you're thrilled to have achieved it, but it also opens up so many other things. And for the NFL international strategy, there were two votes that occurred at the March owners meeting that really position us at a different level for growth. One was the 32 owners approved that the international game series can pull four games out of every schedule and have them be played internationally. And every team will participate over 8 years. And some teams will clearly participate more just based on, you know, the math. But that commitment by all 32 teams to play games internationally statement about the success of the International Series game program, and full credit to my predecessor, Mark Waller, but also a statement about their commitment going forward. And so with that, the reason I raise that is with that inventory, we now know, you know, we can plan out which teams, when, where going forward. Baseline would be two games in London, one game in Germany, and one game in Mexico out of that pool. On top of that, we expect to continue to have volunteer teams that offer to play a game internationally. The other vote, which ties in here, is the 32 owners approve what we call the club international HMIA strategy, which is teams can make marketing proposals to add an international country to their home marketing area, which is their home marketing area is the surrounding radius. And it's the first time any NFL team, besides the Jaguars in London, actually, have been able to do things outside their home market. So we have teams very interested in Mexico, Canada, UK, Germany, other European countries, Brazil, Australia, China. And what that ties to is, you know, there are teams that say, we want to play international series games in this market because we also want to do more there directly through this program. So a lot of momentum. You know, what it looks like in 5-10 years, hard to say. But all the patterns are in the right direction for continued growth.
The full interview airing Sunday and countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. And speaking of Tottenham Hotspur, we'll be up with the Roosters, if you will, on Sunday morning. We'll be on the air with pregame, the Publix Tailgate Show, at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville. And then at 8:30, it's countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network ahead of the 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time kick from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. The Miami Dolphins at 1-4, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 0-5. Remember to subscribe to the official Jaguars Podcast Network on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts, and enjoy the game this Sunday. Thanks for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next week on the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review Podcast, presented by TIAA Bank.